through a series of interactive lights and sounds, we engage with people living with cognitive disabilities, because light and sound is inherently attractive to humans. It's how we communicate, but it's just making sure that it's at the right level to engage someone with a cognitive disability. But the key to what we do is we train and stay in touch and contact all our staff as much as we can to ensure that they're using the technology. As part of that, we also train people how to engage with someone living with dementia, how to inspire friends and family to come into your care home so that you can create a much happier environment.
Welcome to the Dementia Research Project. I'm Matt DeRay, and in this podcast, I explore the history, innovation, and champions in and around the world of dementia. John Ramsey is the Managing Director of Social Ability, a company dedicated to enhancing the quality of life for people with cognitive challenges, particularly dementia, through solutions like interactive light technology. Under his leadership, the company launched the Happiness Program, creating meaningful activities in care homes to improve residents' well-being.
Thank you so much, John, for your time. Do you mind sharing a bit about your background leading up to Social Ability?
Yeah, sure. So my name is John Ramsey. I'm the founder and CEO of Social Ability, and we supply something called the Happiness Program. And we're really on a mission to make society happier, primarily people living with cognitive disabilities such as dementia, learning disabilities, and autism. So interesting journey. I used to be a corporate lawyer, actually worked in Singapore for 6 months with a law firm called Linklaters. I was there for 6-7 years working in their M&A team. And I decided that I wanted to do work with a bit more social impact in corporate law. So quit my job, went searching for what I could do. It was quite profound for me because I didn't know what I could do and what I was an expert in. And then I started thinking about what had happened to me in my life. And actually, when I realized that my dad, when I was 12, was diagnosed with dementia, he was only 52. And so I spent about 10 years caring for him with my family. And it was brutal. It was really hard speaking to a father who didn't know your name. He was a great man, an orthodontic consultant at Guy's and St. Thomas's Hospital in London, and really good fun from what I can remember. But seeing him deteriorate along his dementia journey was really, really tough and something that I didn't really understand as a teenager. And the thing that I remembered was not being able to connect with him, not being able to make him smile, not being able to have any sort of interpersonal connection, which is obviously very tough. He passed away as I was doing my finals at Oxford, and I put it in a box because I was like, it dominated so much of my upbringing that I didn't want to think about dementia, I didn't want to talk about dementia, I just wanted to get on with my life. And so I became a lawyer, and I realized when I quit Linklaters that actually, if I couldn't do something around dementia with my experience, if I couldn't talk about it, if I couldn't try and change the lives, then no one really could. Because with the greatest respect in the world, society only changes if the younger generations get interested in it and they carry that change forward. And what I've realized is that dementia is often considered just an old person's condition, and that it just happens to you when you get older. It's part of aging, and it's people don't worry it like they do about cancer and other conditions. And the thing is, there's so much that you can do when living with dementia. So having worked a little bit in the industry, I decided to start up Sociability because I'd seen that lights and sounds really engage with people living with dementia. But I wanted to make it more than just a piece of technology. I wanted to make it a partnership that offers long-term sustainable change. And so the Happiness Program was born. And what that is through a series of interactive lights and sounds, we engage with people living with cognitive disabilities, because light and sound is inherently attractive to humans. It's how we communicate. It's just making sure that it's at the right level to engage someone with a cognitive disability. But the key to what we do is we train and stay in touch and contact all our staff as much as we can to ensure that they're using the technology. Because in the UK and North America, staff change so often that it's really hard to keep that engagement going because there's so many other competing things, and it's quite underfunded care in the UK especially. So we are like, a tech piece of technology is only as good as its use, and that's our philosophy. So whilst there's a piece of kit, a product, that's not what you are buying into when you partner up with Sociability. What you're buying into is the use of that technology in various different ways, the improvement in that and the training. And then as part of that, We also train people how to engage with someone living with dementia and other cognitive challenges, how to inspire friends and family to come into your care home, schools, all this, so that you can create a much happier environment. And that's the happiness program, really.
Thank you for sharing that. And part of your journey I really resonate with is, so a bit of context, my mom had early onset as well. And you're absolutely right. I remember just putting it in a box and not just looking forward, not even wanting to think about it. And it is only recently, as I started this podcast, where really unpacking some of the things that came to be. So I really admire what you've built and how you focus your experience and energies into something a lot of people will find
it's
really
you know what? It's really, really helped me because it's helped me, as you say, unpack what happened to me. And in a selfish way, it's given purpose because often you're like, why me? Everyone's got their own things that happen, their own story to tell. And in many, many ways, I've had such a great life and I'm extremely privileged to have grown up in the environment that I've grown up in. But it was hard. No one else seemed to have a dad that didn't know their name. And there were at least on the surface, a lot of happy families around. And it was pretty harrowing. But being able to give purpose to that and then use that to change other people's lives has really, really, really helped.
Once you decided, all right, this is an area I want to focus my energies into, what is that process of narrowing down the potential options of businesses or services or products?
Well, you have to see something that works. But again, I think there's so much technology out there. And I know that I could probably train people to use that technology and lots of the other technology is really good. It's just, it is the use of it. And seeing that it works, listening to your customers, so you're constantly improving it, upgrading it. And we don't get everything right by any means, but also like accepting that not every activity we have on the happiness program is relevant for every single person, but not every single person loves music or sport or art or theater, you know. So what we try and do is actually make a lot of our activities culturally diverse. So we celebrate Eid, we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Wimbledon, we celebrate the Olympics, Halloween, fireworks night, Chinese New Year. We're trying to create as diverse and relevant a product as possible whilst trying to keep it simple. So it's a real competing balance, but it's also so easy to use. You just turn it on and you can just play and you can have fun, be it karaoke, bingo, quizzes, to snakes and ladders, a football match, to just brushing leaves, catching fish, popping balloons. So it's just seeing that it works, but realizing that not every game is going to work with every single person. And sometimes I even have it where you have residents like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But they're playing and they're engaging and they're saying they don't want to do it. But they're actually having fun. And sometimes you just got to listen and see. We know it's scientifically proven that some form of social engagement, even 5 minutes a day, changes the life of someone living with dementia. So seeing that it works, doing your research, co-designing the games with your clients and just listening. Like listening to feedback. But also I know that if it works on one day, it will work tomorrow. So sometimes you've got to like be quite strong with clients and say, look, here's a video of your colleague saying how much this enjoyed with this person. And you're telling me it's not working. Well, it must do because that worked. So sometimes it's also having empathy. Like staff in care homes are overrun, tired, underpaid. And we're nagging them. But our argument is you use our technology and it's a really simple way of creating that engagement and fun and actually frees you up and creates a much more positive environment to work. So we have stats from over 1,000 care homes saying that staff engagement is higher. There are marketing opportunities for prospective residents. And sorry, I know I'm going on a bit, but I think one of the really big things that we're focusing on the minute is something called visiting with purpose. So we actually tell the care homes, who is your ultimate client? It's actually the families of the loved one living in your care home, because they're often the one responsible for paying the fees, for administering everything. So how do you make them happy? How do you change their lives? Well, it's when they visit their loved one that visit is a good visit. But people, I didn't know this when as a kid of someone who was a child, a teenager, an adult of someone living with dementia. I didn't know how to make my visit with my dad fun. and good. And therefore, I came away from that, those care home visits, upset, bored, frustrated, resentful, which I feel guilty about now. But actually, if I'd been told, why don't you bring, your dad loved rugby, why don't you bring some old rugby photos of players when he was growing up? Why don't you bring photos of you as a kid? Why don't you bring chocolates or smells, sounds, music from, he loved Buddy Holly, for instance. Bring that and you will engage and unlock that person. But you have to visit with purpose. It's no longer a relationship, which is what everyone forgets, is that it's not grandma, grandpa, dad, mum, baking a cake and making a cup of tea, ready to ask you a load of questions about your life, right? That no longer exists, unfortunately. I wish it did, but it doesn't. The reality is it doesn't. So how do you create that visit? You have to visit with purpose. You have to bring something and you have to proactively have conversations. And to be honest, if the conversation works this visit, have exactly the same conversation the next visit, because what you're trying to change is the mood of that person to be happy. Because that mood will stay with them. Even if they forget that you came, that mood will stay. And so that is a lot of what we're trying to do, because that's actually the most effective thing. Because then if the family are happy in the visit, the care home resident will be happy in the visit.
That's such a powerful insight. And it just takes that whole idea of, you use the word co-develop solutions just now. It takes that to such a personalized level.
Yeah, but I mean, it's everything. It's absolutely everything.
So if I were to look at Magic Table 360.
Well, so it's actually called the Happiness Program, is genuinely what we do as the service through an interactive projector.
Okay.
It was an old name that we used for it, but actually for us, it's not, the product isn't the technology. It's everything around it that I've described.
Okay.
So actually what you buy into is the Happiness Program, and that's a monthly fee to get our technology, our service, our training, our reports, and all the improvements, upgrades, as long as you're a partner with us.
Got it. And from what you've been telling me, the training part is a big part of it, because it seems like there's a ton of different aspects and elements to the entire service.
Yeah. I mean, if I was a care home operator, I would say, so we work with some care home groups that have 100 homes. I reckon, just from our feedback, I'd be able to tell them how good their care home's doing. Because, and this is a rough estimate, a third of our clients just fly. They're self-sustainable and they train, they stay, they run really well. They use our technology. We call them, yeah, we're using it. We can see the usage is great. They love it. A third are a bit hit and miss. Sometimes they're good. Member staff leaves. You have to retrain them. Then they get good and they have peaks and troughs. And then a third, probably less, maybe 15% to 20%. I've had care homes where they don't respond to your calls. They don't respond to your emails. We've knocked on the door and said, hi, you haven't updated your unit in 6 months or 3 months. We can see that on our system. Are you happy? No one's responded to us. Would you like us to come and give you training for free, all part of the package that you are paying for? And they say no. And I'm like, well, why are you paying for this technology? But I guarantee you, it's not us. It's not the tech. It's actually the staff that aren't engaging properly and they're not thinking about what they want to do. And if I could give that as a report to care homes, they would know very quickly where they need to focus their efforts, because it's the people. And I have sympathy. Don't get me wrong. I have sympathy for people who are underpaid, overworked, stressful environments, an emotional environment. I get that. But what we're saying is use our tech and you will open up time and open up positivity for you.
And looking at the outcomes, it seems like using this tech actually leads to better outcomes for the care home and everybody.
Yeah,
in it.
Absolutely. And that has cost benefit and that, you know, cost benefit. But, you know, we look at like primary outcomes, which is, are people moving more? Are they socializing more? Are they more focused and cognitively engaged? And then actually we've had feedback, because you can use our technology as a therapeutic intervention. So if someone's feeling upset, not themselves, they can be, you know, angry, a bit physical. Often they get given antipsychotic medication, which makes them fall asleep in a chair. And then there's a terrible outcome of life from that. Whereas if they got their frustration out on popping some balloons or playing and you changed their mood, which is the problem, you don't need to give them that antipsychotic medication or PRN, and therefore they have a much better and healthier life because they're still active. They're not just asleep in a chair all day. Or people walk with a purpose a lot. So they're walking and walking. My dad did that. He just did laps and laps and laps of his care home, which is after a while, a huge risk of falls. Whereas actually, if you can get someone sat down and concentrating, we've had people sit down for an hour when they normally wouldn't sit down for a minute, you reduce that risk. And there's huge cost benefit analysis about reduction in falls. Or if you get someone concentrating around a table and you start playing and they open up cognitively, you then feed them and drink, their brain is almost like warm up and warmed up and more alive. They're much more likely to eat properly and drink. So there's some pretty huge outcomes. It just takes a bit of time and a bit of focus to use it in those contexts. We've got this from over 1,000 of our care homes have replied. We've got the stats that are available on our website.
I'm wondering if, aside from care homes, do you also provide the service directly to families?
We do. We generally say, actually, use it as part of your local day center, because the more people, the merrier. It takes a bit of time and enthusiasm. And what I've actually seen is with one-on-one care, it doesn't get used anywhere near as much. There's huge potential there. We just haven't quite unlocked the kind of sustainability of use. And so we don't want to just, we probably could sell it and make a load of money, but that's not our philosophy. Our philosophy is getting it used and changing the world. And so I'm upfront with families. I say, I bet you'd love it for a week or two, but you just stop using it because there's so much else that happens in this sort of one-on-one environment. Whereas in care homes, there's lots of different members of activity teams, there's family and friends. It's more geared to active, fulfilling lives. But yeah, we need to find the potential there.
It almost seemed like the level of personalization was the secret sauce of this. I'm not sure how it works in terms of things like logins and whatnot, but does the product know who's using it and learns based on their likes and dislikes and trends?
So there is personification or personalization. We have very simple games that are available, and we like brushing leaves, catching fish, popping balloons, painting. Those games are loved by everyone and they work. They're our most popular games. We then actually create like playlists for experiences. Because again, if we say to someone, what would you like from your activity? What is your outcome? What are you trying to impact? And someone will say, I'm trying to have a physical session. So you say, well, we've got these 20, 30 games that promote physical movement. So just go into that playlist if you want. Do you want to create a social environment? Do you want to create a cognitive environment? Do you want to work on bed sheets, on ceilings, on walls, on floor? And we have sets of games so that is there and ready for them. You can also favorite the games, or at least that's a feature that we're invoking. We then also have like featured games that are relevant to Christmas, to Eid, to whatever the time of year it might be. We then have culturally relevant playlists. So all that is available and personalized. You can obviously just use all games and just go through them and see what hits and what works. And then as an added feature, and this is behind a login, if your mum was living in a care home in the UK, you could, from Singapore, through our website, upload photos of you, of your family, or what you think is relevant. And then they would download onto the unit. So your mum would be painting pictures of you in the UK. You could add a quiz that she could do as a quiz. And we're adding that sort of personalization to it. There's also, you can actually go through YouTube through our technology. So you could create a YouTube playlist of walks through Singapore, what your mum liked, cooking experiences, football, rugby, swimming, I don't know, whatever it is. And you can create that and then it is available for them. But when it is personalized photos and quizzes and information, we have to put that behind a login so that the data is secure.
Great. I read you're expanding in US and France. Any plans for further markets, perhaps somewhere in Asia Pacific?
Yeah. I mean, we've looked at it. Again, it's so like we need the right person there that knows people and is dedicated and passionate about it. Because as I've said, so much of the battle and the hard yards are becoming best friends with care homes and reminding them to use the technology and all the benefits, because you're competing against medication, you're competing against people not sleeping, you're competing against people not eating. So to create that. So yeah, we are looking at that for sure. it's just a matter of time. And we want to concentrate on doing what we do well in the market where we are as well. So yeah, if the right opportunity presents itself, we'd be keen.
In building this, what's been the biggest challenge you've faced in terms of the adoption?
Staff turnover. 40%, I think it's 40% of staff leave every year a care home. So we'll call, visit, get an email from someone saying, I absolutely love your tech, I use it all the time, da 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 da. So we're like, okay, well, we don't want to bother them for 2-3 months. You call back in 2-3 months and they're like, sorry, who is this? What? We've got an interactive projector. And say, have you checked any of your cupboards? And they find it in a cupboard. It's like, well, you are paying for this, so let's start again. Can we onboard any new members of staff and let us know? That's the biggest challenge. And then the second to that is costs and care homes realizing that activity, mood, positivity in their care home isn't a nice to have, it's a necessity. It's as needed as medication, food, washing. Everything is around what can people living with cognitive challenges do with their day, and we have unlocked a way of engaging the person.
Is there a story that comes to mind from one of the persons with dementia or a resident at a care home who've used it? I'm sure you must have thousands of them.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are quite emotional. We've had people speak to family members for the first time in ages because the light has engaged their brain, and they've had people be able to walk, sit down, smile, say simple things like, I love you. Actually, one of the most amazing things we heard was we work a lot with palliative care. So people at end of life in hospices and hospitals, and we give it to children's wards for free. And there was a little girl who loved Halloween, and as she was passing away, I think she was 7. We put all our Halloween activities on the game so that she could have it on the wall next to her bed as she said goodbye to the world. And I think that meant everything to her parents, because I can't think of a harder thing to go through as a dad than saying goodbye to one of your young kids. But being able to have a glimmer of light and positivity in that moment meant the world to us. And if that could be focused on throughout everything we do, it's that we're trying to achieve. If we can have it in that moment, then why can't we have it day to day?
This has been such a meaningful conversation, John. When I talk to people, if their why is so deep within them, that just shines through in the product. How can people reach out to you?
Well, our website is www.social-ability.com. Go on there, fill in a form. If you ask for John Ramsey, I'll speak to you directly. Or you can email us at info@social-ability.com or .co.uk. And yeah, look at it. We're on all the social media platforms. There's some beautiful videos of us on TikTok and Instagram and LinkedIn. So yeah, we're all about changing the world. So open to, as I said, it gives me purpose. And this whole idea of raising dementia awareness, which is what you're doing. So congratulations to you. I mean, it's great. Young people need to know more about dementia.
All right. Thanks so much for your time, John.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. If you want more of these type of stories, interviews, and guests, please follow the Dementia Research Project wherever you get your podcasts. Onwards and upwards.